The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. How about the Minnesota Vikings? Jeez, they are 13-2. They had that ridiculous victory yesterday in 12th man country up against the Seattle Seahawks by a final score of 27-24. We're now talking about this team potentially getting the number one seed in the NFC. I would have never thought that before the year. So let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a former Vikings linebacker. He's been a part of their radio network for a long time, and that's our pal, Ben Lieber. Ben, I know you're probably in a good mood today, so thanks for doing this. How you been?
Zach, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you're a part of the team and the team wins, it's a good day. And thankfully, we've done this, you know, a few times this year, especially when games really matter.
So there's always this thought with the Vikings, regardless of how good their record is. Yeah, but there's going to be the other shoe that falls. There's always a yeah, but. You feel like this team is different at 13-2, and they're a lot different than the team a few years ago that put us through some similar things. Why do you feel like this team is truly different being around them all the time?
You know, it's a hard thing to really put your finger on. It's just a feeling that you have when you're around the team. There's no ego. There's no one group of guys or a group of guys that you feel like is going to sink the ship. Everybody's in it together. That whole buy-in thing that every coach talks about and they just really, really want from your locker room. I think this team bought in very, very early. And especially for a team that has a lot of different faces on the defense. And especially when you talk about Sam Darnold, that's obviously the most important position in all of sports. He's new to the team and nobody really knew how he was going to pan out. And he's done a fantastic job playing MVP level. But there is that intangible, that it factor that I think this team has. They've won in a variety of different ways. You know, sometimes the offense has not played very well and sometimes the defense has not played very well. And then special teams have been consistent all throughout the year. And we got a rookie kicker as well. So there's just something, you know, super special and fascinating with this team. And let's just hope. I mean, I know things can change kind of on a dime, especially late in the season. They got two tough ones to close it out. Let's hopefully they can do that.
I also don't want to overlook this, and I know people in Minnesota don't, and that's the play of Justin Jefferson. He's their best player, and he's also their most valuable. And it's rare in this league that a quarterback isn't your most valuable player. You have a few other instances like TJ Watt with the Steelers, Saquon Barkley with the Philadelphia Eagles. But for a guy to be that great and never really show his ego as well, because sometimes receivers could really derail a team, and he opens up the field for everybody else, and he's still able to produce at an elite level for himself individually. I don't think you could put a, I know they paid him a lot, but I really don't think you could put a value on what that does for a team.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, the value, Zach. And when they were talking about giving him a contract extension, you know, I, like millions of other Vikings fans out there, were saying, just sign the guy. I mean, yeah, he's worth it. Whatever that's going to be, just sign him, because there are those intangibles that you really can't see on paper. I mean, he's a great leader in the locker room. He works hard at practice every day. He's a good mentor to a lot of the younger receivers. He's a superstar in the best possible way, where he knows it. If you guys, if anybody watched the receiver show on Netflix, like he gets it. He has self-awareness, which I gotta be honest, and I'm sure you've been around a lot of professional athletes. Some guys have it and some guys don't. And he's a superstar that actually has self-awareness. So he knows sort of when to turn on that charisma and when to turn it off. He can't be that persona all the time. He's relatable. And I think that's the best thing about him. I mean, and I'm just talking about what he does off the field and in the locker room. So I think that he's a guy that you absolutely needed to have as your core foundation for what you're building on this football team, because it resonates so far and wide beyond the wide receiver room, beyond the offense, beyond the defense and the team. It really resonates throughout the whole organization, and he gets it.
I also think a big thing, Ben Lieber, too, in this new age of an era of football, where I think when it comes to coaches, we all get caught up, is he an offensive guy or defensive guy? The really successful coaches now are the guys that are player coaches, but they're not doormats. And Kevin O'Connell is the definition of that, because he is player friendly, but when he speaks, the players also know that he means business. And he's created a really special and fun culture there in Minnesota.
Yeah, he really has. And that really, like every great coach, it's not only just finding the right players, but finding the right coaches. And I think every coach is sort of singing the same tune. And have Brian Flores take over that defense and basically withhold the same expectations, maybe in a different style, but it's still a respected style. Guys look up to him. He relates to these players, contrary to what maybe the national, thought is on Brian Flores. We've seen none of that here. And, it's going to be sad to probably lose this guy here pretty soon. But I look at KOC as, again, sort of the right blend of charisma. He can relate to the players age-wise, kind of what they're going through. You know, all the new age players, you hear these older coaches say like, oh, they always have to know the why. Like, can't we just like tell them to do something? Well, he understands that. Coaching is the why. I mean, coaching is teaching, and he's a great teacher. But at the same time, don't let that SoCal smile sort of, whisk you away. I mean, he's going to hold these guys to a high standard. He demands it, and he doesn't have to rule with this iron fist. Guys just know what the expectation is and what the ramifications are if they don't withhold that.
Ben Lieber here with us. When it comes to Coach of the Year, I could give you like 8 to 10 guys that are worthy of the award this year. If I had to narrow that list down to two, I think it's either going to be your guy, Kevin O'Connell, or it's going to be Dan Quinn with the Commanders of what he's done. Give me the argument why it should be Kevin O'Connell if you believe that he should be Coach of the Year.
Well, I just think you look at what the expectations were. I mean, same thing with Dan Quinn. I mean, they had lower expectations, I think, nationally. They didn't know what they had out of their quarterback. But I think when you look at where we've gone with Sam Darnold, who everybody thought was a castaway, everybody thought that his career was over. The reclamation project that's taken place is unbelievable. It's hard to really put into words. And again, you look at the way that they rebuilt the defense. They've completely surpassed what the expectations were. Now they're fighting for a chance to win the division and be the number one seed and get that bye week. I mean, there's a level of success that the Commanders have had, but I look at what KOC's done, and he's even elevated that even higher to put the team and the organization in the position that they're in right now. So, the proof's in the pudding, and he's certainly been in the kitchen cooking.
I know you said it's tough to put it into words what Sam Darnold has done this year, but how do you try to attempt to put it into words? Because, hey, I live in New York. I was here when Sam Darnold was known for getting mono and seeing ghosts, and he was a complete afterthought. And what he's done this year, I like pinch myself because it's just unbelievable to see.
Yeah, there's this exponential amount of growth that we've seen out of him from the time in training camp where he and JJ McCarthy, according to a lot of sources inside, were actually neck and neck. And that's not a slide on Sam. That really was like more of a feather in the cap to JJ. They're like, this guy is accelerating way faster than we thought. He's going to be more pro ready than we thought. And then obviously with the injury, Sam takes over, and you look at where he's gone from just understanding the offense, winning over the locker room, the leadership, all that stuff. But it's the progression of his anticipation within the passing routes and the way that he commands this offense. I mean, he made some really kind of dumb, foolish mistakes early in the season, and he grew past that. He didn't listen to all the critics. He didn't like think about, oh, this is just what my career is. I'm just going to kind of like go back to this average quarterback. He's pushed beyond that. And, you know, that's him. That's KOC. That's Wes Phillips. All the people offensively. But I look at his development, not only just from a character, the respect in the locker room, but again, the way that he anticipates in this offense. You watch these games and he's throwing receivers open. He wasn't really necessarily doing that at the start of the season. And then on top of that, his pocket awareness is just outstanding. I mean, the way that he can athletically get out of trouble. Look, it's not Caleb Williams like, but he can extend plays, I think, better than a lot of people really thought he was going to, and he can get the ball down the field in a hurry, and he's so precise. So everything that you're looking for, at least in this style of offense, he checks every box.
And really, that throw to Jefferson to win the game encapsulates where he is at right now, because the mobility, the way he was able to escape, make a really athletic throw, and don't get me wrong, it was a heck of a catch by Justin Jefferson as well, but you know, people get so caught up, Ben Lieber, when you say, oh, someone's a system quarterback. Like, it's not rocket science with these young quarterbacks. They're all individually talented, but if they're not with the right coaching, if they don't have a lot of talent around them, it's very tough for a quarterback to succeed in this league.
It really is. And that's why I think that, you know, KOC has proven that quarterbacks deserve a second, maybe third chance. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield. And, yeah. You know, I've been a huge fan of Baker even when he came out, but I think he probably admits maybe, you know, maturity wasn't where it needs to be. You know, that's just part of the growth. Maybe the system wasn't really working there in Cleveland. You know, all these things you learn from as you go down their own journey, and you look at Sam's situation, and they specifically targeted him and looked at him for a lot of the things. You know, KOC's always talked about when he looks at quarterbacks, whether they're veterans, whether they're rookies coming out of college, accuracy. That's the one thing he loved out of Kirk Cousins, accuracy. You have to be accurate. It's a hard thing to teach, especially when you're moving up a level from college to the NFL. And Sam had that. And also, this is a deep ball offense. Now, it's maybe not like Norv Turner of old, where you're really, really chucking the ball down the field. But you look at the number of air yards that Kirk's had, that anybody, you know, Nick Mullins when he's in there, and then you get Sam in there as well. He wants to get the ball down the field, and Sam has the arm strength to do that. The athleticism on top of it is just the cherry on top.
And you know the big debate now, there will be some fans that will say, you got to bring back Sam. You got to re-sign him. Other fans will say, you know what, you're going to trust Kevin O'Connell. You're going to go with J.J. McCarthy, and Sam will go somewhere else. I feel like in what will happen, it's going to be the latter, not the former, and Sam will be somewhere else next year. How about yourself?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's hard to say that, but this team has talked about a plan for a long time. You know, Kwesi and his staff, they're always talking about a plan. It seems like they're always thinking about not just next year, but they're looking down the road. They've always got the big picture in mind. And the big picture in mind is not overpaying or paying a lot of money at the quarterback position, or really only one position, to hamper what you can build foundationally, depth-wise, for the whole roster. So I think they really, really wanted to shed that Kirk Cousins contract. Now, Sam's not going to get probably anywhere close to that, but he's still going to get north of $35 million a year, probably into the $40 million a year. And you're sort of slowly going back into that world where you don't have a lot of money to spend in free agency. And this is a draft in 2025 where the Vikings don't have a lot of draft picks. So they're going to have to build through free agency. And so the best way you can do that is to get a high number of value as far as the salary cap, which they do right now. Things are always going to change, but we're going to be major players this offseason in the free agency. And I think they want to keep it that way so that, again, they can build the totality of the roster.
And I know you were with the Chargers to start off your career. Does this at all remind you a little Drew Brees, Philip Rivers just happening all over again?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you got to throw Eli in there because he was a part of that whole you know, mess to begin with, too. I mean, I would remember being on the team and I'm like, why doesn't Eli want to come here? Like, what's so wrong with San Diego? But everything worked out. And yes, if you can go younger at that position and feel like you can still get that high level of play, I mean, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. And I think it's going to be one of those things at the end of the season where everybody shakes hands. Everybody hugs. They say their I love yous. You know, Sam's got to be super appreciative. for the fat contract that KOC helped him get. And the Vikings are going to get a young, you know, hopefully superstar young quarterback, you know, that trails him.
I feel like a part of you, and I know you well, but, you know, I don't totally know everything that Ben Lieber thinks. You would be okay if the Giants have the number one overall pick and Shedeur Sanders kind of gives him a stiff arm and forces his way to the Raiders all these years later. Is that a fair statement?
Sure. I like the high level of drama. I think it'd be kind of fun, you know, but then what happens with the head coach? I mean, is the head coach like this? Is he gone if he goes to the Raiders and all of a sudden his dad comes in? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's a soap opera that I'm willing to watch.
I think Antonio Pierce, this is a big misnomer. I think a lot of people believe Dion's going to follow Shedeur. I think that's going to be a year or two from now. They'll let the current coach be in there. And then usually a lot of these teams are in that spot because they're bad and they're going to be needing a new coach anyway. So I think that's a year or two away from seeing Shedeur and Dion link back up on an NFL sideline.
No, I like that train of thought too. And I really think for Shedeur, it's probably the best case scenario. I mean, in the NFL locker room is a lot different than college. You know, you really, really have to prove yourself to earn people's respect. And if you feel like it's a level of nepotism and you feel like you're getting coddled a little bit because of your daddy, then, you know, it's going to be harder for the guys to rally behind you.
Last thing I'll ask you, Ben Lieber, when you get to future Sam destinations, if this goes the way that we think it's going to go, hey, Geno Smith has done a good job, right? The last few years with Seattle, reinventing himself in this fraternity of former Jets quarterbacks that didn't work out in New York. He's older, though. He's 34. He got a year left on his contract. I look at the Seahawks as that would be a good landing spot for Sam.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think they'd have to do something differently with their offensive coordinator. You know, they don't have a high number of play action pass. That's something that Sam's really, really good at. I think it's going to have to fit his style. And I think right now, currently with their offensive coordinator, it's not an off. It very much, obviously, he comes from University of Washington. I'm watching the tape. I see the game yesterday in Seattle, and I'm like, this looks like a college offense. And I don't know if that's the best fit for Sam. So I have a crazy theory that he's going to end back up in LA with the Rams. I know that Stafford is, again, playing really, really well in the month of December, late November, just like he did last year. But he has a gigantic cap value, something like $60 million. If they can get out from underneath that and pay the quarterback, a new quarterback, you know, in the way that they can fudge the numbers and get that number significantly down and get a young quarterback that's back in LA that fits the system, then I think that's the best landing spot for him.
That'd be really something. Ben Lieber, part of the Vikings radio network, former Vikings linebacker, has a football team that could be getting the number one seed in the NFC. If I had to ask you right now, rank the three best teams in the NFC. 1, 2, 3, how would you rank them?
Vikings, Eagles, Lions.
Ooh, the Lions down in that number three spot. The injuries is what you think is going to do them in?
The injuries. You know, obviously their offense can score 1,000 points a game, but you know, I think you look at the way the Vikings can spin the ball down the field and score some points too. If it has to come down to a shootout, then it has to come down to a shootout. But I trust our defense more than theirs.
Ben, happy holidays. Enjoy the ride the rest of the way. We appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man. Same to you.
There he is, Ben Lieber, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. How about that? Now, I don't think it's surprising when he says J.J. McCarthy is going to start next year for the Vikings and Sam Darnold's going to go somewhere else. I know that the Rams have been floated out there, but I've always thought Stafford's going to be back. He's kind of going with the Rams for Sam Darnold's next destination. If you're Sam, you love that, right? Because you have Cooper Kupp, you got Puka Nacua, you got Kyren Williams. There's a lot there. But are they really going to move on from Stafford? Maybe if Stafford retires, that's a different story. But that's been a destination that's been floated out there. I just have not been able to get there yet. Hey, Botch, I'm going to put you on the spot here real quickly. So Penn State's Bo Perbula, who's no longer Penn State's quarterback, right? It's Drew Aller, we know that. But Perbula was next in line. Aller's coming back. Perbula has to leave the team, enter the transfer portal because all this wacky, transfer portal period and the academic calendar, all that stuff. He is now going to Missouri. If you just had to guesstimate, he signed an NIL package. What do you think the dollar value is on Bo Perbula's NIL package at Missouri, if you had to take a guess?
$5.5 million.
Too high.
Too high? $3.5 million.
Still too high.
Really? $1 million.
$1.5 million is the NIL package for Bo Prabhula. Now, good for him. God bless. But it just shows you. And Bo Prabhula, he's going to Missouri, okay? You know, he could be a solid quarterback. But, man, it's a good time to be a college kid when you get an NIL package of $1.5 million. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. We will do a Week 16 version of No Huddle Offense next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show. Last night on Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys surprised the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they end up beating Tampa by a final score of 26-24. Baker Mayfield was trailing for the entirety of this game, and I was just waiting for Baker to lead that team to victory. And with 2:36 left, he has a touchdown pass, and that makes it 26-24. So I'm just saying, just get the ball back. They force a three and out. Baker gets the ball, makes an incredible escape, and then this play happened, and it was a stunning, and I mean a stunning and spectacular play by Deron Bland.
Here's the snap. Mayfield back to pass, looking left. In trouble, hit in the backfield, and he will flip it out to White, who makes the catch, breaks a tackle across the 30, out to the 32. The ball came out, and the Cowboys have it. The Cowboys took it away.
And that was courtesy of Ryan Racky on Westwood One. What a marvelous play by Deron Bland. He's making the tackle and he strips the ball out. And they had an interception a little earlier by Jordan Lewis, which I still don't know how he caught that ball too. So the Dallas Cowboys, I'll give them credit. McCarthy had those guys still playing for him. And you know what? With what has happened the last 5 weeks, I don't think Mike McCarthy is getting fired. I think he'll get a two-year extension. So basically one more year, and then after that year, he could be a lame duck coach, or if you could just get rid of him with only 1 year left in the contract. But now Tampa Bay's 8-7. The Cowboys improved to 7-8. Some numbers from this game. Cooper Rush, 26-35 for 292 passing yards and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb, 7 catches for 105 yards. Bucky Irving did get a touchdown. The Bucs had 23 carries for 134 yards as a team. Mike Evans, 5 catches for 69 yards, held out of the end zone. Jalen McMillan did have a receiving touchdown along with Ryan Miller, as Baker Mayfield was 31-43 for 303 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Botcher, what's the question here?
Who do you have more faith in out of the NFC South, the Buccaneers or the Falcons?
I'm still going to say, even though the Falcons control their own destiny now, and the Falcons have beat Tampa Bay twice, and there's only 2 weeks left in the season, and they have the same record, I'm still going to say it's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because you look at the schedules. The Falcons have the Commanders and the Panthers. The Commanders are a really good team, and you know what you're getting out of them with Jaden Daniels, and the Panthers have surprised some people down the stretch, and Bryce Young has played well. You look at the Tampa Bay schedule. Sure, they play the Panthers, but they're coming off a loss. And then they go on to play the Saints, who I would imagine many in the Saints organization are ready to check on out. So I think it's more likely that the Bucs go 2-0 rather than the Falcons going 2-0. And as long as Tampa Bay goes 2-0 and the Falcons go 1-1 or even 0-2, and I think they will go 1-1, then I do believe the Buccaneers are going to win the division. But wouldn't that be something? If the Falcons end up making the playoffs and how late into the season they made the quarterback change. But I will go with Tampa Bay having more confidence in them, but was disappointed with their effort last night. All righty, Vikings and Seahawks. Let's start off with the highlight. Justin Jefferson already had one touchdown catch. Well, let's go get a second touchdown catch, as this was another great escape by Sam Darnold and his mobility. We're just talking about it with Ben Lieber from the Vikings Radio Network. Let's hear Sam Darnold hook up with Justin Jefferson for the second time today. We will also hear from the Vikings Radio Network, but it's not Ben Lieber. It's the great Paul Allen.
First and 10 from the Seattle 39. 3:58 to go. Seattle leads by 4 in the fourth quarter. Sam steps up. Sam throws left. Caught! Jefferson! Touchdown!
Yes!
Sam, the man on the fan! finds the moneymaker, Justin Jefferson.
And we take a look at the numbers from this one. Sam Darnold, 246 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He has 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions on the season. Jay Jettas, have a night, 10 catches for 144 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jordan Addison had a touchdown as well. And Andrew Van Ginkle had 2 sacks in the contest. Geno Smith, 314 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Had a pick at the end of the game, which did ice the victory for the Minnesota Vikings. And you look at Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 8 catches for 95 yards. DK Metcalf, 3 for 57 with the touchdown. And Tyler Lockett only had 2 catches for 19 yards. Botcher, what do you got cooking up for me here?
Can Sam Darnold actually be a legit Super Bowl-winning starting quarterback somewhere?
So I don't think he's going to be back with Minnesota at the end of the season. I think they're going to turn the page to J.J. McCarthy. Can he win the Super Bowl this year in Minnesota? I think he can. You know, Chiefs, Super Bowl contender. Bills, Super Bowl contender. I really don't love anybody else in the AFC. And then you glance over at the NFC. Lions are really damn good. I know they won yesterday, but they have a ton of injuries. The Eagles, just when you start to praise them last week, then they drop a game to the Commanders. I know that Jalen Hurts got hurt. Kenny Pickett was in. But still, Devontae Smith just can't drop that ball at the end of the game. And there were 5 turnovers by the Commanders offense, and the Eagles still couldn't win the game. So I look at Sam Darnold. Can he win one this year in Minnesota? Yes. Do I think it will happen? No. And if he's going somewhere else, you know, he could go to the Raiders, where you got Brock Bowers, but you don't have as much around him, clearly, in Minnesota. And Sam's going to need a lot around him because it's a two-way street. You know, if he goes to the Rams, could he win with the Rams? Sure. But I don't think he's going somewhere where you're going to look at them and have a great expectation. So if he goes to Seattle, I think that would be a fun spot, as I talked about earlier. So I think he could be good. But Super Bowl good? Once he leaves Minnesota, which they're even skeptics if he could win a Super Bowl in Minnesota this year. I'm going to say that's more no than yes in terms of him being able to win a Super Bowl. All righty, let's head down to Landover, Maryland. 9 seconds remaining. It looked like the Eagles are going to win, even though Jaden Daniels and the Commanders offense had 5 turnovers. There were 3 fumbles. You had 2 interceptions by Jaden Daniels. You see the Washington Commanders in their home stadium, even though it's a dump. It's not even FedEx Field anymore. I don't even know what they call it, but it's a dump. They were matriculating the ball down the field. And with 6 seconds left, Jamison Crowder in the end zone, Jaden Daniels found him for this score.
Second and goal at the 10. Snap to Daniels. Eagles break 4. Into the middle of the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Touchdown!
That's Bram Weinstein on the Commanders Radio Network. Touchdown! Touchdown! It's amazing! Jaden Daniels! He gives us more to cheer about than we've ever had in like 30 years! Commanders! Commanders! That's an unbelievable call. You look back at this one, injuries did play a part of the game. Jalen Hurts, 1-for-4, 11 yards passing. He did leave in the first quarter with the concussion. It was weird. I saw him have his helmet back in his hands, helmet on. It looked like he was coming back in, and they ruled him out for the rest of the game. Kenny Pickett. Kenny, 2 gloves, had an interception and a touchdown, 143 yards passing. Had a ball late right in the hands of Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith dropped it. It would have iced the game. They had to settle for a field goal. And then you had that game-winning touchdown eventually by the Commanders. Saquon Barkley had 150 rushing yards in the game and a touchdown. A.J. Brown, 8 for 97 with a touchdown. Devontae Smith, 6 receptions for 51 yards as well. And I'll give you some more numbers on this. Jaden Daniels, he's been spectacular. The offensive rookie of the year. We will get to that in just a second. I think it's going to be him. But 258 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 81 yards rushing. And Alamide Zaccheaus had 2 touchdowns in this one. Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, had a touchdown as well. So the Eagles, their winning streak is over. It ends at 10. And this is one where if you had Jalen Hurts, you probably think you're going to win the game. They still could have won the game without him, but they did not do so, even after getting 2 touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns early. I think I said 1 touchdown, but 2 rushing touchdowns from Saquon Barkley. So the Commanders, they're 10-5. Eagles are 12-3. Probably going to now not get the 1 seed. Commanders going to make the playoffs. 36-33, Commanders beat the Eagles. And I kind of gave it away, but Botcher, Give me the questionnaire.
Just making sure. Is Jaden Daniels still your offensive rookie of the year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's donezo. Sorry, Bo Nix. Sorry, Brock Bowers. Offensive rookie of the year. Absolutely, it's going to be Jaden Daniels. All righty, let's go to Saturday. This is one of the rare times in college football this season where the NFL is actually better than college football after a weekend, because all the college football games that matter were an absolute blowout. And on Saturday, all right, Chiefs-Texans was fine, and Ravens-Steelers was at least watchable. And then on Sunday, you had some good games. You know, it wasn't a go-right-home type of weekend, but Commanders-Eagles was good. Panthers-Cardinals was entertaining. Vikings-Seahawks entertaining. Bills-Patriots out of nowhere ended up being a good game. If you like pain and you like the draft, well, Raiders-Jaguars, depending on who you root for, was entertaining. Dolphins gave you a little bit of an interest, and then the Cowboys-Buccaneers game was a good game at night. But I take you to Saturday, Texans and the Chiefs. Chiefs are now 14-1 in the season. Texans are 9-6. Some numbers from this contest. C.J. Stroud, 244 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. It's his third second interception game in his last 6. Tank Dell suffered a terrible injury, but before that injury, had 6 catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. Nico Collins had 7 grabs for 60 yards. Mahomes, well, 260 yards through the air, a passing touchdown, also had 33 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown. Kareem Hunt had 79 total yards and a touchdown. Xavier Worthy did find the end zone as well, 7 catches, 65 yards. DeAndre Hopkins made some nice catches too. Hollywood Brown was back in action. Mike Pinnell did have a sack. As the Kansas City Chiefs, all they do is win, and I was impressed with their offense, and they ended up getting the victory 27-19 over the Texans. Another big game, another big dud for the Houston Texans. Let's listen up once again to Ryan Racky, who had this Mahomes call to Xavier Worthy for an 8-yard strike.
First down and goal from the Texans 8. Trips left, single man right. Mahomes in the gun. Hunt to his right side. Gray in motion from the right. Here's the snap. Mahomes back, looks left, throws left. Wide open, caught, touchdown. It's Xavier Worthy. An 8-yard touchdown pass from Mahomes to Worthy, and the Chiefs extend the lead.
All righty, Botcher, what do we got cooking up here on the question?
If you were betting right now, like right now, not preseason, not postseason, would you put the money on the Chiefs to three-peat?
Oh, boy. You say money. Money, 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 money. Well, I bet a lot of games and I lose some money, so, you know. If you say gun to your head, that's a little bit of a different story. But if I had to make a selection now, man, Buffalo with Josh Allen. I know they weren't showing much yesterday, and they beat them in the regular season. The NFC, Eagles come back down to earth, but they were without Jalen Hurts. Lions have a bunch of injury. Pains me to say it. Because I know if this was my team, and this was a year where they've only had one loss, and they got this much disrespected because I think everyone else wants somebody else to win, I'd probably be running to the bank. If these were my Patriots, I'd be running to the bank. And right now, the Chiefs basically are the Patriots. So, yeah, if I had to put money down, and significant money, not play money, I'm talking significant dollars, until someone takes out the champs, I think they're going to find a way to get it done. If you want to be the champs, well, you got to beat the champs, and I think that will resonate as true this year. Okay, let's wrap it up. Going back to Saturday, let's hear Marlon Humphrey with this 37-yard pick six. This is Jerry with the G, Jerry Sandusky, on the Ravens Radio Network.
Second down and 7 for the Steelers. Play action, Russell Wilson rolls right, throws, intercepted, picked off, Marlon Humphrey, he's going to the house, pick 6, Marlon Humphrey, and the defense steps up to the moment. Oh, what a play, and this house is on fire.
Sorry to do that to you, Dexter Henry, is standing by. Are you, Ravens are you, beat are the Steelers 34-17. I don't make this segment. This is a pre-produced segment. I had no clue you were doing the updates today, and they put in this highlight.
Folks,
right there.
It was all to torture me. It was all to torture me.
I don't know. Like,
nah, you wouldn't do that.
Steelers
to
fans
that.
Are just there. They're nice, you know? They used to be great.
Wow.
It's
see,
true.
You're trying to bait me. I see what you're doing.
I'm not. You know, Russell Wilson, 22 of the 33. I'll give you the stats. 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. The Steelers
offense. And a fumble. And a loss.
And fumble. A fumble. You that know, hurts. Najee 2 weeks ago. Now Russell Wilson. This offense can't do anything without George Pickens. You know, you got
Pickens should be back, you know, on Christmas Day.
But still, they're not going to beat anyone when it matters.
You know what? I'm going to say something. I'm going to give you some juice right
it's
now.
It's true. Here's Lamar Jackson, 3 passing touchdowns.
Does Wednesday matter?
Does Wednesday matter? Because they go up against the Chiefs.
Yeah, will that matter for you?
If they get, that would be a very nice victory. Yeah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say it. Steelers get the upset on Christmas Day. In the Berg, send the black and gold faithful home happy. I'm going with that.
So here's the only problem.
Yes, sir.
Now, this could get risky, because is then too much time off a bad thing? If the Chiefs win this game, they lock up the one seed, then their last game of the season against the Broncos means nothing, then they get a week off. So I'm curious by the Chiefs' approach, and I think they're going to go all out to win this game. I do. But the Steelers, they're due. But that would be typical Steelers now.
It would.
You win a game that you would be perceived as a big game, but then when they probably get a rematch in the playoffs up against the Chiefs, they get smothered.
I don't see that happening against Patty Mahomes in the playoffs. I'm not going. Yeah, I'm a realist. I told you.
I just want the Steelers, and this is not a political statement, I want them to be great again. You know? I look at the Steelers. They're just average. They're good. They're good. They're a good football team, but there's a difference in good and great, and they have not been great in a long time.
I don't disagree with you on that. I don't disagree with you on that. I think they've been better offensively than they had the last couple of years, but still.
Not saying much.
That is true.
Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges.
That was rough.
Kenny Pickett.
That rough times, and I wanted to root for my Pitt brother, but that was rough.
Yeah.
I hear you.
All right. Boucher, what's the question here? Let's wrap this up.
What's your confidence in the Ravens that they can win the Super Bowl?
The Ravens? So I was in on the Ravens last year. I actually, before the season, picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. So I guess I was in on them before the season started. I think it was just I wanted to see someone other than Kansas City. The problem is, I don't love their defense this year. And Lamar Jackson, it's such an... I know he's balling out right now, and I love Lamar. But he was balling out last year. And they had an easier road last year than what they're going to have this year. And they couldn't get there. So if he couldn't get there last year, why should I expect him to get there this year? I would say there's about a 25% chance that they end up getting to the Super Bowl this year. They're the third best team in the AFC. But I think it's a big gap with the Chiefs and the Bills, even though we've seen what the Ravens have been able to do this year. They beat the Bills, and if Isaiah Likely could have got that other foot down, they probably would have beat the Chiefs. So there you go. That's another edition of No Huddle Offense. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll wrap up shop after these short messages. Update time first. Here is America's favorite Steelers fan and favorite fan of the Pittsburgh Panthers. Right? Pat Narduzzi.
There you go.
I'm a fan of Narduzzi.
I like that.
I like it. College. I don't dislike the NFL team.
No, you're not a hater. No. You're not.
Why would I hate the Patriots dominated the Steelers for all those years? So why would I hate them?
You're not a hater.
It's like a bye to the Super Bowl whenever they play.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of joy out of saying this. I know. See, I know this here.
Dexter's such a nice guy. I'm just trying to see when can I reach a boiling point where, like, Dexter Henry throws something at me.
Not over this. I'll tell you that. Okay. Not over this.
Gotcha. So we'll dig deeper and we'll try to
You might find it one day.
We'll find the sleezy and a really slimy
just
level.
Just be ready to duck. That's what you got to do. Ready to duck.
Okay. Duck. So then I'll dodge.
There you go.
Because I think if you tell me to duck. Then I think you're going to go the other way. And maybe have to dodge.
So just got to stay ready, man.
Yeah. Now I just told you my approach.
Yeah, you did. You gave me the game plan.
Here is Dexter Henry.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Smiley in the YouTube chat says, Zach, have you ever seen the Rockefeller tree lit up in person? You could submit a question by tweeting at INF Sports Center, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I live in New York City, so that is not something that is crazy to me because I've seen it so many times before. But yes, if you are not someone that lives in New York or New York City, I can understand the tourist attraction of going, right, with your significant other or something like that, and going to see the Rockefeller tree lit up in New York City. But I've seen it many, many, many times, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, when you're just walking around the city. There's so many other Christmas trees, too, that they light up now in New York City if you don't want to go to Rockefeller as well. Like, right around my apartment down in the financial district, they do have a big tree there as well, which, if I'm being honest, it's not as big as the one in Rockefeller Center, but it's not a big difference to me. Those are two things that I try to avoid at all costs, Boucher. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day, or three things. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you will never see me ever there, unless if I'm in it, which I don't think I'll be in it anytime soon. But if they ask me to be in it, you know, if they want me to be like the Grand Marshal of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, I couldn't pass up on that opportunity. New Year's Eve, I will never go see the big ball drop. You couldn't pay, maybe you could pay me, but you get the point. You couldn't pay me to go there. And then also, I'm not trying to rush this time of the year to go see the tree at Rockefeller Center.
It would take you about 25 minutes to walk through that crowd, probably today.
Well, you know what's weird for New Year's, too? You have people that wait in line all day.
See a ball. It's a ball.
Yeah.
You can see the ball now.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! And it's cold. You're miserable. New Year's to me is such an overrated, and I mean over, like when I was younger and you were partying and you were drinking and you'd be going out to the clubs, I absolutely loved that. It was fun when I was in my early 20s, but now since I'm becoming a curmudgeon, now since I'm becoming a more mature and older man, yeah, I'm not loving New Year's. I think New Year's is so overrated. I'm good in an apartment with a few people. Have a nice little dinner, order something in, Happy New Year, and then you get the show on the road. That's just me for New Year's now. But this, like, you got to go out, overpriced dinner, or you got to go to a club. You know, hey, I love a good time. But on New Year's, I just think it's so overrated. My favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. I think now my least favorite holiday is New Year's. And also, when you get, even though... Right, Memorial Day, it's bigger than just barbecues and things like that, but that's like the start of summer too, and even though Labor Day, it's kind of the end of summer, those are usually two fun weekends as well, just because it's always barbecue and it's a summer, it's good weather, you know, maybe you're down at the Jersey Shore or something like that, but New Year's, I've had enough, really I've had enough with New Year's, so... that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network today. Big thanks to Jordan Faison for joining us from the Notre Dame football team, also national champion in lacrosse. Big thanks to Ben Lieber for stopping by as well. And a big thank you to Ryan Boucher for producing this extravaganza today. Wonderful job by Boucher and also Alex Azarum. Merry Christmas to all. Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. If I didn't mention it, I hope you have a great holiday season. We're going to be off for 2 days. So we're off Tuesday. We are off Wednesday. We will be back on Thursday. And we will be here on Friday. And then next week, and I'll take you through the rest of the year. Obviously, I'm here on Saturday down the hall for WFAN, Sunday for Infinity Sports Network, Sunday morning football. And then next week, it's the same thing. Oh, that's nice how that lined up. Monday, we are here. Tuesday and Wednesday, we won't be. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And then we'll be back on Thursday and Friday, the 2nd and the 3rd. So if we don't talk until then, or if you don't tune in until then, have a great Christmas. Have a great holiday season. And also have a wonderful new year. And I could say something cheesy like 2025 will be the best year yet. Hopefully it will be. I don't know, though. I can't guarantee anything. I'm just the radio host. I'm just a bloviating jackass on the radio. All righty. We will talk on Thursday, everybody. Right at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. I'm Zach Gelb. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for all your support all throughout the year. And we will talk coming up on Thursday. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.